Love will love, will follow you wherever and ever. It's Valentine's Day. What a better time to watch with your Valentine, Princess Bride, which is supposed to be about true love. I would guess that more movies, plays, and books are written about love than any other particular topic. Moreover, even when something else is the main topic, love is still an integral part of the story. The question is, do they give an accurate understanding of genuine love? The Greek language has three different words that are translated love. Agape, phile, and eros. Now the last of these, eros, refers to physical attraction, physical intimacy. This word is never found in the Bible, even when talking about the relationship between man and a woman. Phile refers to a close personal friendship. If you really enjoy the companionship of somebody, male or female, then the word phile would be used. It's found in the word Philadelphia, which means brotherly love. Various forms of this word are found throughout the New Testament. Agape is the word for the highest form of love. It is used of God's love for us and of our love for God. It is used of the love between Christians because they are Christians. It is used of the love between a man and his wife, between parents and children. The importance of love might be found in the fact that the Bible occurs 551 times in the English versions. The law is all about love. Our love toward God, our love toward one another. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. The gospel is all about love. In this, the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, that is, the satisfaction for our sins. So the Bible is all about love. Love is supposed to govern all our relationships in this world, with friends and enemies alike. Love does govern God's relationship with us. So what is it? What is this thing called love? If eros is the word for the physical attraction between a male and a female, then should we really be using the word love as a translation? If your friendship with a boyfriend or a girlfriend is only physical, it should not be called love. Think about it. Do you always have to be touching each other in order to have a good relationship? Does kissing and hugging define your relationship? Do you make your friend feel guilty or unloving if he or she does not want to get physical. That's not love. In the final analysis, eros is self-love. Eros is seeing what you can get for yourself out of a relationship. Eros does not ask, what can I do for that person? Eros does not say, what can I sacrifice? What can I give up for my friend? In the world of psychology, they talk about biological changes that take place fostering and governing love. Chemicals such as androgens and estrogens, dopamine and norepinephrine, vasopressin and oxytocin. Is that what love is? The interaction of chemicals within our bodies? Is it just a biological thing going on? If so, then we are merely the passive victims of our biology and cannot be held responsible for the results. Then we're just like animals. But we are not animals. Consider this. In Ephesians 5, using the word agape, the Lord says to all husbands, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. This is not a suggestion. This is not a fond hope that perhaps you will love your wife. This is a command. Do it. It is something that the Lord requires of us who are husbands. Chemical changes do not foster and govern that kind of love. Chemical changes are involved in eros, but not agape. Agape is not a biological thing. It is a spiritual thing. And by this I mean that agape is found in the spirit of a man, not the body. Love is fostered and governed by the spirit or the soul of an individual. Agape is an attitude of the soul, an attitude, a way of looking at things, an attitude which governs what the body does. Agape is an attitude that places other people first and yourself last. You couples, why don't you sit down together and read 1 Corinthians 13 and ask yourself if this defines your relationship. I dare you, I challenge you to read 1 Corinthians 13. Is your relationship defined by agape as it is in 1 Corinthians 13? Is it defined by eros? Or is it merely a friendship, in which case it would be defined by philia? But agape is the word used in 1 Corinthians. You see, true love looks to the needs of the other person, always doing what is best for that person, always willing to give up one's own desires and one's own needs for the sake of that person. The Spirit points us to Jesus as the ultimate example of love. He gave up everything for our sakes. Gave up heavenly glory to come down to earth. He gave up earthly blessings and lived in poverty. He gave up earthly power, and when he could have had it in his grasp, personal comfort, and finally he gave up his own life. And I'm not just talking about physical death, but he suffered the death of hell for us. Always reaching out, always doing what is better for the other person. His love was an active attitude. And the result is we are now forgiven, we are declared righteous, and eternal life is ours. God grant that you may have true love towards some special person and also toward all people. God grant us all a love that is active, always doing what is best for those around us. God, who created male and female, who instituted marriage, help us to do His will. Turn to hymn 439. We'll sing verses 2 through 4, 439.